Live from the Brainswell Media Studios in Augusta, Georgia, this is the Ryan Dorn Sales and Marketing Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the team at 032outsourcing.com. Increase productivity and profitability by outsourcing business tasks to free up your time. Talk to Mike over at 032outsourcing.com. Now, your coach, your mentor, your host, he's still selling every day, Emmy-winning sales and marketing coach, Ryan Dorn.
What's going on, friends and fans? Ryan Dorn here, your friendly neighborhood sales coach. This week, we're focusing in on what I like to call sales humanity. And it's a topic of conversation that I've been having with my coaching clients and on the road as I'm speaking with people. I just feel like the human side of sales is being overlooked, especially amidst all the conversations about AI sales and those type of things. So let me focus in on this for a couple of seconds and share with you my thoughts, and then I'd love to hear from you as well in the comments, as well as dropping me emails and things like that. I'm actually kind of thinking that maybe sales humanity might be something that I should be talking about in one of my next sales books. All right, so here is what I've observed. First, I've observed that all too often, those of us in the sales business get a little bit of a negative rap based upon past things that have occurred, like the movie Tommy Boy and the movie Boiler Room and Wolf of Wall Street and things like that. For example, when you say to somebody, you know, or they say to you rather, what do you do? And you say, I'm in sales, and they're like, oh, and they kind of wrinkle their nose. It's really based upon years and years and years of, in my opinion, bad salesmanship. People, salespeople, willing to do anything to get the deal done. Never take no for an answer. Always be in front of people 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Follow them home if you have to. That kind of thing is just the 90s are calling, and they want those type of sales ideas back. I would encourage you to be an advisor. And we've talked about it before a little bit on the podcast and in our videos. Salespeople sell stuff. Advisors recommend things. As a matter of fact, advisors get paid to recommend things. In the sales business, all too often, it's kind of like, oh, please, would you buy from me? It's like you're looking up at them and you're down on your knees begging them. And I want to be a peer with my customers. I want to be somebody that they trust. I want to be somebody that they refer. And that's what people do with advisors. Most salespeople are thought about as kind of ugly or negative or slimy or swarmy or whatever. Oh, they'll do anything to get a deal done. That's not the perception I want to be. I want to put the human side back in the sales business. The second thing is I want to be helpful. One of the cores of being a good human being is being helpful, whether someone's asking for time or directions or whatever it is. Stop this checking in. I'm checking in on you. How can I help? One of my favorite questions is, when you granted me this meeting, thank you for that. There's probably something you were thinking I could do to be helpful to you. How can I help? What does a perfect client referral look like to you? How can I help? What's going on with your business? Anything I can help with? The human side of sales is always being there for people, always being a great referral, and always being helpful. And I would just love for you to consider that. The next thing is I'd encourage you to stop doing salesy things, like using closing techniques like, hey, you know what you thought about yesterday? Somebody else is thinking about today. You know, those type of closing techniques don't work on people anymore anyway, especially when you think about the youngest amongst us. They're so well-tuned, they're so highly researched, so educated, that when you try those old-school sales strategies like, oh, never give somebody a chance to say no, I mean, that just doesn't work out for most people, and they find it actually, in a lot of cases, to be just a little bit offensive. Bring the humanity back into the sales business and stop doing salesy things, like pushing the close or following up every day with people or tracking them down and being kind of creepy. And the last thing I'd love to share with you is, from being a human in the sales business, I'd love for you to increase your non-sales touches. Like, rather than every email be about selling something or buying something, what about 30 to 35% of your outreaches to your customers are really all about what you can do to be helpful to them, sharing articles with them, sending them a handwritten thank you note. Oh my gosh, getting out a pen and paper and writing somebody a thank you note or thinking about them. All of these things are a part of the human element of the sales business that I just feel in today's world is sometimes missing. Love to get your comments and feedback on this topic. Love to hear if you think we should spend more time talking about it, because the humanity, or putting humanity back in the sales business, heck, it can't do much but just benefit all of us, right? Never forget, friends, if sales was easy, everybody be doing it, and they're not. We're not crazy. I used to say that. We're not crazy. We're the chosen few. This is a great career. I promise you, friends, it'll feed your family for a lifetime. Love to encourage your team. Love to speak at your national sales meeting. Reach out to me, ryandorn.com. Hey friends, my goal is really simple: to provide you tactical and practical information you can put into practice right away. Speaking of that, I'd be a pretty terrible sales coach if I didn't take my own advice, right? Hey, if you would, give me 30 seconds here to pay a few bills, take care of those people that are out there to take care of all of you. We'll be right back with your listener questions after these commercial messages.
This podcast is brought to you in part by the outsourcing experts at 032outsourcing.com. Virtual employees save you time, money, increase your productivity, and ultimately your profitability too. Learn more about outsourcing today. Visit 032outsourcing.com. Your podcast host, Ryan Dorn, has his new sales book on Amazon, Audible, and at Barnes & Noble. Selling Forward, Pandemic-Tested Strategies for Sales Success has been called a must-read for every sales professional. 100% of the net proceeds from Ryan's book sales always go to the Golden Harvest Food Bank. Buy Selling Forward today at your favorite retailer. Okay, now back to the podcast. Here's your fellow sales warrior and host, Ryan Dorn.
What's going on, friends and fans? Ryan Dorn here answering your listener questions. Send in to ryan@ryandorn.com. And whether you're watching the videos on YouTube or listening to the podcast, be sure to subscribe down below so you never miss an update. All right, next listener question comes from James of Wisconsin. Hey, James, it's cold in Wisconsin right now, isn't it? Here's James' question. Hey, Ryan, appreciate your podcast and everything. Love some advice on I'll pass, meaning I'm getting replies from my customers saying, thanks, James, I'll pass. What am I doing wrong? So, James, I don't know that you're necessarily doing anything wrong per se, but let's talk about some strategies so that you stop getting I'll pass. So there's two things that could potentially be going wrong. One is they're not seeing enough value to get a reply from you. Or number two, on this side, you're giving them too much information. So let's talk about the value. Always be asking yourself, James, and everybody else, I do this every time I leave a voicemail, every time I write an email, why should they reply to me? Like, what email, what value are they going to get by replying to this email? If you're saying something like this: hi, Bonnie, love to chat with you about X, got some ideas for you. And you don't give them any reason to reply, and you're not creating enough value to get them to reply, okay? So your email should always be structured. We've talked about it before. 3 words in the subject line, 3 sentences max. The way the structure of the email goes is 3 pieces of value. Start off at the top. Hi, Julie, I'm working with company A, company B, company C, and they're loving it. Okay, a lot of value in that. Like, oh, wow, I should be working with you too. Second sentence is your value proposition, not about you, but about what you can do to help them. Julie, I saw on your website you're featuring this. Love to help you with that. Really? There's value in me replying to you. Julie's value comes that, hey, maybe he could help me too. Then the third sentence, though, which everybody overlooks for some reason, there's value in time. So if you're not saying, I'd love to meet with you for 5 minutes to talk about this, the default is, ooh, he wants to meet for 60 minutes. So we want to make sure we're mentioning other people we're working with. We've got a value proposition that's clear for them, not your elevator pitch. Nobody wants to hear that. And the third is asking for 5 or 10 minutes, okay? That's over here on the value side of things. Maybe you need to create more value, James, to get them to reply. Okay, other side of the coin. I'm guessing maybe you're giving them too much information. So for example, like in my world of marketing, if I said subject line, home guide coming up next month, deadline tomorrow, or the body of the email was like, hey, we got a great home guide coming up, love to get you included, we got some special rates for companies like yours. Well, there's not a lot of value in that. It really just basically is a solicitation. and you've given them so much information that quite honestly, they can make a decision like, I'll pass, right? So what we want to do is go back to the value conversation. You want to be brief. You want to be teasy. You want to tease them. You want to kind of get them enticed to have a meeting with you. And so you really don't want to give them so much information that they can make a decision. That's why I'm so against just blindly sending solicitations with PDF attachments or links. I just feel like you're giving them so much information, they're like, nah, I'm good, I'll pass. And you never even had a fighting chance. So James, either one of those sides of the coin could potentially be working against you. If you fix both those things and you're still having problems, drop me another email and I'm going to always give you 30 minutes for free, friends. So if you want to jump on the line, James, I'm happy to sort out that with you as well. But just remember, all the emails we do, friends, need to be rich in value. What's the value they're going to get for replying to that particular email from you? So James, good luck out there. All right, next question comes from Tara in Fort Myers. I'm guessing that's Fort Myers, Florida. Hey, Tara. Hey, Ryan, I'm being told, I just got off a webinar, and I'm being told that there is no perfect send times for sales emails. You talk about send times all the time. Who's right and who's wrong? Tara, I'm right. I'm always right. Tara, here's what I can promise to you. I have to sell a couple million bucks a year myself, and I will never share things that are theories. I only talk about things that are real. I don't like to pontificate. I like to talk, and I always have a little bit of an ego that I'm dragging behind, right? But I want to make sure that you know from my mouth to God's ears, my heart to yours, you know, that I'll never share anything with you that I'm not actively doing, okay? So I'm sure from a mass email perspective, there probably is not the perfect day or the perfect time. Now, I've been told Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are better days. I've been told mornings and afternoons, early evening are better. But then again, I've had some great luck sending emails on Saturday mornings, you know, crazy as that may sound. So here's what I try to do. Let's back up a second, Tara from Florida. What I want to do is think about what does my customer's day look like? So follow me on this, friends. What does my customer's day look like? So if my customer that I'm reaching out to is somebody in a service industry, well, more than likely, they're starting at 7 o'clock. They're getting their trucks out in the field by 8. They just sit down at their computer by 9. Do you want to be the first person in their inbox? Maybe, maybe not at 9 o'clock. So maybe you try to structure it so your emails hit at the top of their inbox at 10 a.m., just as an example. What you don't want to do with somebody like that, that's out in the field all day, so to speak, is email them at noon. Someone was on Facebook. I won't say his name, but you should ignore him. He's like, oh, hit people at noon at lunch. Well, there's nothing that frustrates me more than like getting a bunch of email when at lunchtime when I'm trying to catch up, right? So you might just want to consider what does your customer's day look like? Now, in corporate America, Google it if you don't believe me. The two most common times for meetings are 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. So because 10 and 2 are the two most common meeting times, I don't want my emails to hit at 10 or 2. So most meetings are an hour. So I don't want to be in the morning because I don't want to be in delete mode. Most people get to work, they're like in delete mode. So I don't do 8, 9, 10 o'clock is meeting. So maybe 11, 11:15. I get great responses then. I don't like people interrupting my lunch. Kind of makes me cranky, right? And then I know that another common meeting time is 2 o'clock. So you could hit at 1. You could hit at 3. I would say definitely not after 5. But if you want to be really strategic and you get a good response, maybe use delayed delivery or send later. And have something hit on Saturday morning. I'm amazed at how many emails I get from a prospecting perspective or replies I get on Saturday morning. I don't do anything on Sundays. I'm trying to chill. I think everybody else is kind of, you know, as well. So here would be my consideration and my best advice to you, Tara. Watch your customers. Adjust your email schedule to your customer's email. And don't follow the advice of people on Facebook or Instagram that claim to be a guru. Anytime somebody says they're a guru, I think I'm going to run in the other direction. Guru is like, run the other way. And look at your customer's lives and try to be in alignment with your customer's lives, not your life. One final thought. You might be, Tara, a 5 a.m. kind of person. Totally cool. Good for you, by the way. But if you're sending emails at 5 a.m., nobody's receiving those going, wow, look at Tara. She really gets at it. Early bird gets the worm, you know. Instead, they're probably looking at that email like, 5 a.m.? What in the world, right? So you want to be strategic of when you hit people's inboxes to be at the top of the inbox at the most appropriate time for the person that you're sending it to. So Tara, I hope that advice helps. And let me know. Reach back out and let me know what your send times look like. I would share with you, I don't get great email replies on Mondays or Fridays. I get much better replies Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And Wednesday is a pretty good day for me when I'm sending out those emails. So Tara, I hope that's helpful. Tara and everybody, don't forget, if sales was easy, everybody be doing it. And they're not. We're not crazy friends. This is a great career. It will feed your family for a lifetime, I promise. Another podcast all about sales and marketing will come your way very soon. Ryan Dorn saying thank you so much. God bless you. Get out there and sell something. If I can be of help, reach out to me, ryandorn.com. All right, we'll see you in 2 weeks.